live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 169. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Excuse me, Brandon. Let me clear my throat for a little bit, man. There's a whole lot of choking going on around here. I'm doing just fine.
Uh-oh. How are you? I'm doing well. You are coming in hot today. The choking comments. Yeah, I'm doing well. A lot of sports news involving here in the NBA that came out today. A lot of news.
Yep.
And then we also have quite a bit of just news and news and notes today. 6:30 show this evening. You're just joining us, wondering where the hell we've been the last half hour or last or so. We're doing 6:30 to 8:00, hour and a half show, and we will we'll kind of hit those notes like we always do. Looks like we got a call, JB, already.
Already, man.
Already. Our boy Decott doesn't want to wait too long with us, so we'll get him on here. Decott, what's going on?
Gentlemen, it is going great. I love the show. Wanted to call in early because I've got my cousin is stranded up in Shelbyville. I got to go pick him up. He's got a flat tire, so I got to spend some time up there in the next few minutes. But I want to cover a few topics. But I just got on. So have you all covered any topics yet? I don't want to take anybody's time.
We just went on the air at 6:30. We did it a half hour later tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, this maybe will set the table for the night, right? One of the things I want to talk about. Oh yeah, I wrote it down this time so I wouldn't forget. I want to talk about the MVP being ejected and folks talking about you can't eject an MVP. The NBA is slowly but surely turning into the WWE, and here's what I mean by that. For people to out loud say, and I'm not talking about fans, I'm talking about talking heads, players, the four letter, Fox, et cetera, saying you cannot eject him in that moment. He is the MVP, and he didn't mean to do what he did. Here's my problem. I've saw that video probably 6 or 7 different times. Man, that dude tried to club him out of frustration. And I'm not saying he should go be put in jail or anything like that, but that was blatant. If that guy's name was John Yoakam, he would have been ejected and probably thrown out of the league for the next year. So my issue is with all this, well, you can't do that to this star guy. And those of us that are WWE fans, we know that Hogan had a rule. He wasn't going to take an L from a guy under him. It was in his contract. I'm not taking a loss.
Right.
We've seen the Montreal screw job. We've talked about that. This you don't say you can't do that to this guy. That is an inequity there. And if you want to just call it what it is, just come out like the WWE and say, hey, it's really not sports. It's sports entertainment. That's my take on that deal. I want to kind of get a little bit of feedback from you guys. Yeah.
Just on Jokic, man. I think the NBA and its fans sometimes we get trapped in the moment of what we saw in the past with, you know what I'm saying, what was the Detroit Pistons or what was the New York Knicks or what was that mid-air collision with Kurt Rambis and Kevin McHale from playoff years past, man. And the NBA doesn't want to – kind of to what you're kind of speaking to, the NBA doesn't want to go – they don't want to go down that road anymore because – it could potentially, with athletes being bigger, faster, stronger, and then we can even add that even more athletic. We could ruin a career here. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
It is. You kind of alluded to though, Decott. It is an entertainment piece because you know, I remember about the late great Kobe Bryant. He said, "I am." He told an opponent, I am the playoffs. The TV people are here to see me, not you.
Right.
And that was trash
right.
talk. That was trash talk, but it was kind of trash talk with littered with the truth, you know.
Correct.
I I thought it was kind of weak for them to let him go, but it did look like it was more of a frustration play, like kind of like you said too.
Yeah.
They were gonna get swept.
Right.
Bottom line, they were gonna get swept with him out there or with him not you know what I'm saying, not being there either. So it was kind of like a judgment call.
Right.
I don't know. I'll be honest with Decott, and I'll let Brandon take over. If it was anybody else, I mean, and I'm not saying I'm saying this, you know, say openly. If it was LeBron James or even Kevin Durant, I don't think they get ejected.
Exactly. You're exactly right, and that's my frustration. Brandon, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah,
it was like I'm taking
over
the show.
Okay. I like it. I thought it was a hard foul. I thought it was a frustration foul. I think
right.
It's the fact that when he struck down with the authority of it was where they kind of get.
Right.
And I would have been fine with the original fragrant foul, saying, "Hey, play on." The talk that some people are immortal to not be able to be ejected, I think that's in the false narrative, you know, to the league that says, hey, these people get away with it, these people can't, even though it's kind of the spot where we know some people get away with a little bit more things than others. But
Right. Overall,
I think I was okay with him being ejected. Like you said, we knew they were going to get swept, and – you know, Jokic can handle what Jokic was. And I thought his MVP talk was trash when his little speech beforehand, his little 15 seconds, I thought that was trash.
Right, yeah. Yeah. You know what it reminded me of, fellas? Think about this. Harken back to the Lakers when Dwight Howard was there and he got ejected when they were getting their butts whooped. Remember when he walked off the court and got ejected? He did something and got ejected. Kobe was playing at the time. And he got ejected. I don't remember what year it was, but he and Kobe didn't get along really well that year.
You know, when they got eliminated, they got swept by the Spurs. I remember.
Yes. You're right. So Jokic kind of reminded me a little bit of that. I don't think he wanted to see the end because he knew the end was there.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of like my thought on it. I'm not a fan of this. You can't make that call on that guy. And at that time, everyone was saying, well, that MVP. If the MVP makes a foul, so what you're telling me is you all admit that every foul is not created equal depending on who makes it.
That's what they admit, man. They admit, if you got any brains behind you, and I know you do, and I know Brandon does too, man, we all know that a foul, certain fouls ain't foul for certain players. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's frustrating. That's frustrating, man. Because not just from a betting perspective, right? But it's just from a legitimacy perspective. And I started thinking about this. I've been watching the series of The Dark Side of the Ring with the WWE, right? And I'm seeing a lot of similarities in what they did for their stars compared to what they do for NBA. And I know people are, what are you talking about, wrestling? That's fake. But no, we're not talking about fake. We're talking about choreographed, scripted, and having things in place that this doesn't happen to this guy. And those fans that are NBA fans, they may not be wrestling fans like us, right? But we know that Hogan had it in his claws. We know Austin had it in his. Undertaker. These things were already there. So they were the big stars. So what's the difference in saying the talking head on ESPN, call that foul on that guy at that time?
Right, that's not
is
that,
it or is it not a foul? That's my only that's my dig on it, man.
Right. If PJ Tucker does the same thing, he gets ejected, maybe he gets a fine for the next season. Something crazy.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, and that's a little bit of a frustration there. But then I had another one, right? The flopping. That's another tie-in to the WWE. Listen, man, I'm telling you now. People tell me all the time, say, man, how can you say you're a Pacer fan and you go to the games, but you always complain that you don't like the NBA? I love the Pacers, but I don't like the NBA. Because if you saw Embiid the other night, him and Trey, whatever his name is, the guy is the guard.
Trey Young.
Mm-hmm. They had a contest of who could flop the most. It was about five or six straight possessions. They both – we're doing and Embiid 7'2", 290.
Right.
Are you doing this, man? Are you kidding me? It drives me crazy.
You
want to
say lock a shot? Lock a shot, man. What are you doing? Man, that's part of the game. You know, I take.
Well, it cost him the game the other night when he didn't.
Yeah.
He went for a little floppy layup instead of a hard dunk.
Yeah. And remember the 3D shot that was an air ball? I mean,
uh-huh.
So it just and the point I'm making about this is this: I'm going to watch it, and because I love basketball. But it's just turning into more of a sideshow. And if those of us that are wrestling fans, you pay attention, I'm telling you, you see a lot of similarities, man, in what they talk about in wrestling and what's going on in the NBA. You know, and it's just
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to kind of vent. That was a little vent on my part there. However, the positive stuff is, man, wouldn't Tobias Harris, to me as a Pacer fan, look great in the Pacers uniform. Man, he's been playing ball, man. He's played well and because he's the third guy, right? And I know that's probably why, because he's got Simmons, you've got Embiid. But I like his game. And I haven't watched him a whole lot, to be honest, right? But I've watched him about 10 or 15 games this year, and I just like him.
We got him on the team already. If you peel that jersey off, you got T.J. Warren.
He didn't play last year, dude. Brandon, he didn't play.
When he gets challenged, man, he takes it personal, man. When the team looks bad and Joel's not out there, and he takes ownership of that.
Yeah.
when they lose.
I just like his spirit. I like his spirit, man. He's got a good spirit to him, man. And I want to share that, man, because this NBA thing is hot and heavy for everybody, and I just want to see, you know, obviously what you guys thought and everything. And I didn't want to go different. Yes, sir.
D-Cott, no more King KD post, man. Don't do that.
Hey, listen, let me tell you
Don't
something.
Do that.
Let me tell you. That was a dig on another one of my buddies, right? Because they still talk about Bron like he's in the playoffs. Stop talking about this dude, man. He's doing the same thing I'm doing right now. He's watching.
Right.
Maybe his TV's bigger. Maybe he's got a little bit more money in the bank. But that's it, man. That was a dig, man. I really blame
all that on ESPN and Skip Bayless. I know he doesn't work for ESPN anymore. But as soon as the game was over last night, and me and Brandon Park talked about it extensively going on as the rest of the show goes on, like my guy and even Stephen A. to agree are tweeting about, oh man, way better than LeBron. I'm like, dude, KD can't have his own moment on his jump in.
That was the anti-LeBron conversation is what that was. That wasn't about KD. Those guys, they don't think much. Let KD score 20 points the next game. He's a bum next. They swing like a swing set. But I just like the fact that he took the team on his shoulders, didn't complain, and he just balled out. I like that.
Yeah.
Not that I think he's just greatest of all time, that crap. No. But he had a moment.
Right.
Now, what does Paul George do? Oh, now you may see some posts. You may see something from me if he plays like I think he's going to play.
Stop it. 6 of 24 tonight.
That's what I'm saying, Brandon. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Because
I don't know.
KD had his moment to shine. Let's see. So all these people who love Paul George, now that he's gone, big moment. Your guy isn't there. If he doesn't go 40, 10, and 10,
Oh wow!
Why not?
I don't know if Paul George got that kind of game left.
Who's he going to pass to score? Who's on that team to score it?
I tell you what,
more
guys, look for my post. If he drops a 16-5-3.
Oh my!
Look for my post when he goes 6 of 24 shooting. Two of 11 from three.
Yeah, that's probably where we're going with that, Brandon. You're probably right, and I can't wait. I'm gonna have some fun with it. I'll be asleep when the game's over because I gotta work tomorrow morning.
Hey, I got a good joke for you. I heard. You remember how the Paul George Gatorade commercial went, and he kind of shot that three and made it, and says ball game. So
yeah,
the joke is they're going to have to redo that that commercial, and then Paul George hits that three and yells ball game, and then his teammate looks at him and says, "No, Paul, we just went from down 8 to down 5."
That's about right. I'll probably watch the first probably quarter and a half, but I can't wait to wake up to see what those statistics are. It's going to be interesting to see.
Hey, just so you know, Paul George, I did the over-under for his points. Over-under was 30 and a half. I took the under severely. The under was minus 112, I believe.
Oh,
over
okay.
was plus 100. So
I'm getting on tonight for sure. I got red 9 in my future and black 26 in my future, and definitely under 30 and a half in my future for sure.
Well, see, I knew you weren't going to change no tire and not get some blackjack in there or some roulette.
No, I'm only going to help fix the flat, man. I'm thinking 9 o'clock, and you know, it's going to take me 30 minutes to get back home. That's what I'm talking about.
All right. Thanks, D-Cock.
All right. Hey, you guys be safe, man. Take care of yourselves, man.
Absolutely.
All right. That's D-Cock getting his call in early. I like it. I love it.
Brandon, this is a high show off the top, man. We didn't even get a proper rundown yet.
I know. We're 15 minutes in. No rundown. Topic, we've got some NHL playoffs. A couple of NFL notes I have. U.S. Open is this weekend. Golf's third major of the year is this weekend. And then some baseball. And then, John, remind me at the end, here at the hour and a half show tonight, still going to end at 8 o'clock, remind me, we're going to need to talk some college football in this possible 12-team playoff that might be the works.
Brandon, I'm going to probably lose my mind when we talk about it, but I sure will remind you.
Okay. All right. So let's dive right back into the NBA. First one I want to talk about is the Nets and Bucks series. Nets were up 2-0. Bucks came battling back with two games. I told you in a private text, I felt like the Bucks got lucky in game three because Bruce Brown's trying to be the hero Brown, trying to be James Brown, trying to be Bobby Brown, trying to be any type of
Bobby
Cleveland
Brown.
You name it.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby, yeah. And Bucks should easily have been – or Nets should have easily been up. In that series 3-1 and then closed it out last night. Kevin Durant had a heroic performance like Dame Lillard did back in the day, but Durant just hitting shot after shot after shot that he needed to last night. He played all 48 minutes. His three-pointers, oh, my God, there was one three he hit towards the end. I about jumped out of bed when he did it. I mean, I know you were out. I was already in bed, but I was sending you all cap text, and I was like the Ranchula, just hitting those crime shots. And he needed to. Your boy Slim Harden, I mean, he couldn't hit a broad save a barn, but at least he was a ball handler out there. He could draw his opponent that way. It took it off of. I feel like even though Harden didn't score as much as he did hit the clutch free throws at the end, but he did what he needed to do for the Nets to be successful. Now, Kyrie's out still, most likely going to be out this series. I think the Bucks win this next game. I think it goes to a game 7 in there. But, man, what's your thoughts on kind of the Bucks tying it back up and then the fact that KD just went like off like a monster last night?
Dude, I've been arguing back and forth with folks. And I don't think really anybody who I've been debating with either on Twitter or on Facebook or whatever a lot of things are kind of missed in when you're writing about in text and whatnot, right? No, man, Craig's efforts by Kevin Durant. And then, but you know, like I said, like I alluded to, man, everybody all compares it. Like, dude, where's LeBron at? I'm like, dude, let Kevin Durant have his time. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Because there is some questions about could he do something like this on his own. And, again, I remember him being MVP in Oklahoma City. I remember – you know what I'm saying, also that they were down 3-1. And, you know what I'm saying, that whole big story, you know what I'm saying, his resume is what his resume is. And again, last night, they still didn't – I mean, we didn't win a championship last night, but he staved off a potential – it wasn't an elimination, but a potential, you know, surge in the series. If they win mm-hmm. – if the Bucks win that game last night, they go home – they win game six with momentum, you know.
Right.
So two things can be true, as the great Bill Walton once said. You know what I'm saying? Two things can be true. It could be one of the greatest basketball games we've ever seen out of Kevin Durant, one of his all time great basketball games, and it could also be a major meltdown by the team, not just Giannis, because I know Giannis, you know what I'm saying, heavy is the head that bears the crown, but not just Giannis, but the entire team that comprises of the Milwaukee Bucks, man, because, again, you're up 17 or 16, how many points they were up? I think at some one point they were 17, and you should know, as everybody should, pay to be the coach. I wish I got me a coach's salary, or even assistant salary. I'm not paid. You know what I'm saying? We watch the games. You know what I'm saying? We have a little bit, no more so than, I mean, I would say, than anybody else, right? But how the heck do you not know they're going to make a run in the fourth quarter? How do you not know that? How do you not know they're going to make, they're going to put,
I told you they're going to do it in the second quarter. I took the Nets money line at halftime. I said, there's no way they're losing this game. No way. Even though they were down 17, I said, no way.
So with all that being said, you never did run your best plays. You stopped passing the ball. You stopped making what – I'm not – you know what I'm saying? But it's not a such thing as Bucks basketball just yet. You know what I'm saying? But the things that made them successful, either even going back to game one, the first quarter, you know what I'm saying? You got Brook Lopez out here like a small forward. He's on the wing. And I get it. He can hit threes, but damn it, he has a notable size advantage. You know what I'm saying? And even he kind of fell asleep. More than a couple times,
uh-huh.
Leaving Blake Griffin open, leaving Jeff Green open. And I know there's somewhat of a matchup nightmare, more so Green is than Blake Griffin. But, again, you can't – I mean, the margin for error. Like, I don't know what Budenholzer – I know, you know what I'm saying, I like him as a coach. He said some good things. He obviously, you know what I'm saying, wants him to set regular season games. But he's looking like a regular season coach. Because he the proper adjustments, like your margin for error, again, the hard, you had this All-Star out, this MVP out, like the basketball guys almost kind of lined up things for you to win, but you still have a margin of error because you're still young in this moment.
I do think it's on Giannis too, though. Giannis, you gotta be able to hit your free throws at the end, buddy. You gotta hit your free throws.
Hold on. But they didn't lose by that. They didn't lose by free throws. They lost because of bad passing. Like, what was it with Middleton doing at the end of the game? What the hell was that? I mean, again, that's not a smart basketball play. Middleton, you in the paint. Just go ahead and take it. You the second leading scorer, second highest paid player on the team. If you miss it, it's on you. But, I mean, I don't quite understand it. And, again, you're right, Brandon. He has not – he's lost some confidence, Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at his regular season numbers from the free throw line, not great, but not in the 50s, not in the 40s. He's not shooting free throws with confidence. He'll score a pair and shoot a three like he's freaking Larry Bird. And I'm like, man, whoa, why are we, you know what I'm saying, 2 for 5 or what, you know what I'm saying? He shouldn't even, why did he even take the 5? You know what I'm saying? And then the one-on-one isolation play where you got the 6'11" Giannis and they're building a wall down here, you know what I'm saying, before he even gets there. And then, D-Cop's talking about flopping. You make the referee have adjustment call. So, and then, you know, between Jeff Green and Blake Griffin, they lead the league in offensive charges. All you got to do is make sure that you're above the restricted area. And not moving, and then the referee is kind of forced to call a foul on the offensive player, which is some bull. But it is what it is. That's the rule. That's the rule that they've kind of compiled for us.
I do like the matchup of PJ Tucker and Durant. That's been great to watch when they're both in there at each other.
Because it reminds you, right? Because it reminds you of the old NBA, real cantankerous, real disdain for one another. You know, one guy. It's almost like Michael Jordan versus John Starks, ain't it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
One guy is supremely talented. The other guy is on here because, you know, he got a nuts and bolts, work hard hat workman type of approach to the game, you know. But, like, I know, man, even he have a goose egg. You can't be on the floor and leave a goose egg. I said this, I told you this game one when I was going back and forth with Darius Butler. That Darius Butler from Coast, all they do, he's talking about Pat Connaughton. Like, Pat Connaughton cannot be out. He cannot get minutes and Forbes, they have to come out here and perform. They can't get minutes and be thinking, oh, man, Giannis is going out here to score 30 or 34 and we're gonna get a victory. I have to do something. And we saw some moments. You know,
let me ask you two questions.
Go ahead.
Number one, I guess this one's not a question. I'll do the comment and then lead you to a question. Durant, and just kind of looking at him, 49 points. You could tell he wanted that last free throw to make it a 50-burger last night. Antetokounmpo, Giannis, what do you think his plus-minus was? Let me ask you that question first.
Well, you know, I don't lose my mind about plus-minus, man. I really don't.
He was a minus eight. He was the highest on his team.
Yeah,
my question with you is,
how
much faith do you have in Giannis coming out in the post game saying, I want KD. I'm guarding KD next time. Because I think KD might give him the oop-de-oop. Giannis isn't as quick as KD.
Not in free space, no. You still would want to. So again, I don't know who has the brain. I was gonna say ball. Sorry, who has the brains of this locker room? You know what I'm saying? Like again, you might want that defensively, but all that bumping and whatnot—that's what PJ Tucker is there to do. Okay, so that's I would say be smart about it. PJ Tucker is there. We can lose PJ Tucker for chunks of the game. It's okay. If he gets two fouls early, you know what I'm saying? It's the second quarter. He has to sit. That's fine. PJ Tucker, I will say, like I said, PJ Tucker came in with a goose egg for the end of the game, but we've used if you use Giannis for a large part of the time of the game, that's not good. It's not. They depend upon Giannis. He's defensive player of the year. Hallelujah. They depend upon him to rebound. They depend on him to block shots. They depend upon him to score. You know what I'm saying? So, like, thinking like that, you know, that's not necessarily I get it. He wants to take up the challenge, but I don't know, man. You know what, Brandon? I don't want to start no crap, but
you already started with the Bucks.
Some of those, I hope. Well, I did, they listened to the show, and they tied the series up until like last night, and then they, you know, kind of things kind of fell apart. But listen, man, Richard Jefferson's comments might ring true if they lose next game. If they lose tomorrow night's game, if the Bucks lose in six, they might ring true. He's not the guy. He's the secondary guy. And ain't no shame in being, there's Richard Jefferson, maybe to Scottie Pippen. Ain't no shame in being Scottie Pippen. And then, you know, that was a whole back and forth between Scottie Pippen and Richard Jefferson, right? But there ain't no shame. But, like, I don't know. I don't think he plays a lot with his heart and not his head. That's where I think this series is kind of went.
Yeah, your MVP fumbling a ball between his legs on the last play, not kind of what you're looking at when you had a chance. Two things. One, Jeff Green, turn back the clock, 8 of 11 shooting, 7 of 8 from 3, 27 points. Jeff Green showed up for the Nets when Harden was down, and that's what they needed. They needed that second guy. I mean, Blake Griffin, 7 of 11 for 17 points. He definitely pulled the hell out of PJ Tucker's arm on that one free throw from Giannis, which I'm getting, here's what I'm thinking about with the rules. Why don't they call a 10-second violation against Giannis? Is that because it's Giannis and he's a former MVP and we're not going to call it against him? Like,
yeah.
Everybody knows.
I mean,
they start a clock.
Great answer. Yes, that's the answer. Because star players get star treatment. They just do.
And
Kyrie. It ain't just Giannis. From the history of the NBA. So I don't want – it's always going to kind of seem that we're picking on one guy, but in the history of the NBA, star players get star treatment.
How far can the Nets go without Kyrie?
In the next series? Right?
I'm just saying in general.
Can
they win the rest of the series? Can they win this series without Kyrie?
I don't think Joel's going to be 100%. So I think the Nets can beat Philadelphia. I don't think Joel Embiid is going to be 100%. And I'm saying Philadelphia, I think that's going to be an extended series. You know what I mean? I think the series goes seven, which I just think nobody thought that the Hawks and the Sixers was going to go seven. But I think that series goes seven. But unfortunately, the longer these series goes with any of these teams, because let's be frank, you know what I'm saying? Like, the injury bug is catching up to everybody. The compressed season is catching up. It just is. The two combatants from last year are already at the finals. Combatants are already out. And I know they missed, both of them had missed chunks of portion of this season, but it's still like, dude, the rest on your body, and the wear and tear, it caught up to everybody. Jamal Murray's out. Oladipo's out. Miles Turner was out. Kemba Walker was out. Gordon Hayward was out.
Do you believe that, or do you think it's an excuse? I think it's an excuse.
No,
the injuries are happening. Injuries happen. They're part of the game.
Not like this, though. Think about from last. Think about. I'm just not even. Not even thinking about the bubble year. Think about the year before that. Not like this. Not to this tune. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think we're gonna use an excuse. And I'm not.
LeBron did.
I don't think LeBron just tweeted it out today, and of course everything gets, you know what I'm saying, magnified when he does it. But when Josh Hart tweeted it out just 2 weeks ago about Jamal Murray, there was no peep. There was nobody that said anything. Nobody cared. See what I'm saying? I'm just, hey, dude, it's a significant science behind it, man. Not necessarily TJ, who was out for the Pacers, who was out for it because he didn't want to get surgery, but like Miles Turner didn't finish the season at all. Oladipo, I know, you know what I'm saying, the love and hate around here, around in the Indiana market for him. But again, I know he was coming off an injury, as was a lot of guys. But again, he didn't finish the season at all. Jimmy Butler was a shadow of his former self. So I think there's some significance in what, you know what I'm saying, this compressed season has kind of brought from an injury standpoint.
Okay. You got to believe that the Sixers are going to come out tonight strong. I think they win this game tonight. I think they Doc Rivers was flat out just – I haven't heard Doc Rivers say the F-bomb more in a post-game press conferences than I have this year. But
they choked it off.
It's just
– you know,
doesn't Philly look like the team – don't they look like two different teams, like a team that's going to go out there and win the championship and steamroll everybody, and then they look like a team sometimes that they're going to get beat by the Hawks in the series. Like they a second-round beat.
They are a well-balanced team that when they – when they think they can just coast to a victory, that a team like Atlanta that can just score with anybody. We said it, I think I said it 3 weeks before ago. They can score with anybody just from any position. Whether you get Hooter, Bogdanović, Trae Young, John Collins, you know what I'm saying, Hill when they had him available, but if they can score with any position, you know. And like now, I think the Sixers left their foot off the gas pedal and they let the Hawks. Trae Young was shot. He had a horrible shooting night. He's 8-for-24, but they won the game because like he got hot at the right moment.
They almost lost it, though, that one game. Philly was coming back, and that was the old Nate McMillan where just trying to hang on the Pacers game. We've seen that plenty of times.
Oh, yeah. When they start turning the ball over, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was Pacers written all over it.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we go to the Western Conference, John, I have a critical question for you. We talked about this at work extensively, probably for about an hour. Name me an NBA player or two. We'll give you two. Give me two NBA players that need to win their first championship. One I think is pretty easy. I have mine. And then I want you to name me two players that need their second championship.
If we could put Charles Barkley in the time machine, he would be one of them.
I'm talking current players from all 30 teams.
Who needs to win one to validate? Validate all the hype and talk that they kind of put behind.
I have two players for me that I gave who needs to do it. One is Chris Paul, number one.
Absolutely, 37 years old. Like the opportunities ain't gonna get to this close ever again. You know, so I agree. James Harden for the MVP run, for sure. People have lambasted me today, Brandon. I've become the Black Skip Bayless. Okay.
Oh.
I'm saying, man, Skip. Listen, Brandon.
You are all about Skip.
I listen to Skip Bayless. Right, they gave Skip Bayless $32 million. If somebody, you know, what I'm saying, Disney or Fox wants to buy Crossroads Sports, and they give us $32 million. You'll turn to Shannon Sharp. You heard me. But listen, like man, Skip said, I'm not saying it's phony. Like you know, Kevin Durant, when's the last significant game championship he won without being on somebody's, I hate the term, super team. You know what I'm saying? Now, his career is solidified. Again, MVP, two MVP of the regular season, two championship rings, and two finals MVP. Of course, it's solidified, but then there's still all those naysayers. They're still out there that says that, wait a minute, you had to join the team that beat you to get to two finals. You see what I'm saying? And then you put this team together. He did it. This is his creation, the Brooklyn Nets. This guy, I'm more proud to him to go play where you want to play, and then, you know, play buddy ball, play who you want to play with, get your coach who you want to play for, you know what I'm saying? But you say Chris Paul and you say James Harden, I'm giving you top four. I would also say the Clippers, but unfortunately, the injury bug is probably going to take them. I'm saying Clippers together would be Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, because before the injury, they gave up way too much draft capital to get Paul George to come play there. They gave up a whole lot of money in free agency to get Kawhi Leonard to sign there, to get this free agent to come there, and so on and so forth. They fired the coach last year. The Clippers needed to win. They need to win a championship, and not know this is our championship window. This is our 5-year plan. Like, no. They choked. I mean, again, we're not scared about saying the word choke around here. They choked last year, and Luka took them to 7 this year, so it was almost a choke then. And like now, unfortunately, the injury bug has bitten them. So, but again, no excuses. They need to beat Utah to get to the Western Conference Finals. A long shot, but I would say Kawhi, even again, you know, but this is what, that's what they put together, though, Brandon. You left a whole great organization in San Antonio. You left a championship that was already ready-made for you in Toronto. No king in the East. You know what I'm saying? You ran to the JV team in California. Mm-hmm. So I would say the Clippers, meaning Kawhi Leonard and Paul George as well. That would be the guys that need to win. Again, I get it. Some of the guys on my list already have championships, already have MVPs and whatnot. So though even if they're retired today, they still will get to be Hall of Famers and whatnot. But again, we're talking about, did you do it on your own watch? I would say those guys would be, you know what I'm saying, on my list.
Okay. And players that need a second championship or so for validation.
That's a smaller list. Probably just Kawhi. I ran my list together. Probably just Kawhi.
I got. Well, you haven't said mine yet for that.
I got
Anthony Davis on that list.
Ooh. Well, again, Brandon, is he a Batman or is he?
Well, he needs a second title to help clear it up a little bit.
Well, I think it's crystal clear. You know, again, Heavy is the guy that wears the crown and the king. He never did have no problem running. And now, again, somebody can say, well, he ran from Cleveland to Miami and then back to Cleveland, you know what I'm saying, whatever. Again, and you know me, I hate the term super team. So, again, nobody wins without other all-stars. You just don't. You don't win a championship without having another all-star or two if you're the lead guy on your watch. Kobe Bryant never did. Michael Jordan never did, Larry Bird shortly did, and then we know the story of the Showtime Lakers, how many all-stars they had on that team. So, again, I would say that's – Anthony Davis did a whole lot of good – did a whole lot of great things in New Orleans, but, again, I think he knows where his position is as far – secondary does not mean bad. It just means you're not the guy. You're the secondary guy.
Mm-hmm. Honorable mention – doesn't really need to say a second one, but needs one. What needs another one to help with their resume? Have one gentleman say Steph Curry or Stephen Curry.
Ooh, I'm thinking Steph Curry's pretty good. I really do. I would also say and at least for me, LeBron's pretty good. But I think for him, even with his advanced age, I think he wants to win probably two more, just so the argument would be even more arguable. And we know what the argument is going to be, and I'm not going to even mention it because I don't necessarily argue.
But what about Steph? Does Steph need one more? I feel like he does.
Steph is not in the argument, though, of greatest player of all time. Steph's not in the argument of
is he done winning titles?
He's already in the conversation as one of the greatest point guards of all time. Like even Isaiah Thomas was giving praise the other day on one of the sports center shows or whatever. So he's already in that argument. I think Steph is already all time great. You know, saying UNAV's MVP, okay. That type of, you know what I mean? Who's done that?
Hot take. I don't think he wins another one.
You know what, Brandon? That's not necessarily a hot take. I like a lot of people. Lay people are going to think that they can somehow put the string together a crew with that roster that they have. But you know that roster they had, they only lost like 9 games or whatever. Brandon, most of those guys are already gone and retired, except for Clay, except for Draymond, and we cannot. I'm telling you right now. In 2020, it's June 2020 right now. We cannot expect Klay Thompson to be the same guy he was 2 years ago. I'm not saying he's going to suck at all, but I'm saying we can't expect him to be the guy that he was two seasons ago when he's had two significant knee injuries.
Do you feel what's your thoughts on the video I sent you? And this is, I don't have the video to show on radio, obviously, but of Durant, talking about with him and Draymond, me and Draymond ain't boys. Like, me and Steph and Clay, we didn't hang out. We didn't do any of that. I didn't hang out with them. I didn't know them. I just saw they had their culture of winning and stuff, and I wanted to be a part of it.
Man, they say LeBron be attention-seeking with some of the things. Shame on me. Shame on me for mentioning that. Shame on me for comparing them. Shame on me. I don't know, man. That story's never going to be – nobody's ever going to really, like, know until somebody writes a book. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, there was some locker room issues that they had when things got tough, when basically Golden State kind of gave up their depth to have a player of Durant's caliber on their roster. You know what I'm saying? I know you'll play it at some point. We can probably even share it on the Crossroad Facebook page at some point. But yeah, man, it's something to think about, man. I don't know. You know, was he there as a hired gun? Sure. But I mean, he technically manned up and played when he was hurt, and then he got further injured. So I can't,
right.
You know, him being boys off the court or whatever. I kind of get that. You know, so I kind of understand that. And I could. You know, we also must. We have to forget that him and the sometimes argumentative arguments they had on court between him and Draymond Green. So
right.
I don't know. I think that video just kind of it's just him talking and being, I guess, being truthful. But it just kind of at this point right now, it just kind of just makes for good entertainment.
Okay, looking at the Western Conference, we did cover already when we were talking with Decott, Phoenix Suns 4-0 sweep. They move on to the Western Conference Finals, first time back since, I want to say, did the Suns take on the Lakers when Rajah Bell, that and Steve Nash, that team, was that a second round matchup or a conference finals matchup? I can't remember, but, Suns have advanced, and go ahead, go figure. CP3 out with COVID. I know he's had his shot, but contract tracing, he's tested positive. He's out indefinitely. The best thing the Phoenix Suns can have right now is the fact that this series between Utah and the Clippers goes 7. That way they can get CP back. He may just miss game 1, possibly. I hope he doesn't.
Right.
The Suns are fun to watch. Devin Booker, Ayton's playing well, Mikal Bridges. I like Phoenix. I like the Valley, how they're playing. I also like the video that came out of the fight between the two Denver Nuggets fans wearing the same jersey and the Phoenix Suns fan who, and tell you what, John, when you don't have, like, you're sitting below, most people that are in the fights you see on these viral videos, if you're sitting on below, you don't have the upper ground, you're going to lose those fights. He had the less ground. He beat up the guy. He pulled him. He looked at the other guy and says, I'm going to beat up your friend here. Punched him a few more times. It was after he got sucker punched. The Phoenix Suns fan got sucker punched. All the Denver fans were even on his side. I found out the whole story. Right. And then he looked at him and he looked at his boy and says, Suns in four. I loved that. I thought it was hilarious. They had an interview with him as well on Barstool. I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, I love how Phoenix is. You have to feel, John, I like Phoenix over these other – if I had to rank the teams, and yes, I know Kawhi's going to be out, and we'll get to that, but I would go Phoenix, Utah, Clippers. I mean, I think that's pretty – I think you'd say the same thing.
Right. I like Phoenix. I like Utah to finish this series. Again, I still think it's going to go seven. I have a little bit more faith in Paul George, believe it or not, Brent. I really do. To take the step up and live in the moment. You know what I'm saying? Will it be like Kevin Durant last night? I don't know, but I think he'll step up. Utah likes to chase points, and they're a different team on the floor offensively when Mike Conley, who's not played in this series, they're a different team when they're axing their superstar, their all-star, Devin, you know what I'm saying, Mitchell, to play at a high level. Again, offensively, sometimes he's like, you know, shooting guards of the past that we've seen, you know what I'm saying, shooting threes and hitting layups and whatnot. He's also sometimes guns out his own team. I've seen instances in this series with the Clippers where he had two, even three guys on him, and he still shoots the long ball. I'm like, wait a minute, didn't you see Bojan over there? Don't you trust Gobert at least to get a dunk? You know what I'm saying? So again, man, I think sometimes he reads too much of his place, his clippings, his media clippings. You know what I'm saying? Folks are saying, like, again, I get it. Shaq says one thing, and that probably left him in feeling a certain type of way. But like people out here, there were people out here saying he should be mentioned in the likes of Kevin Durant just based off the instant off. This, I mean, he's had a good that first against Memphis. Again, Memphis is a young, up-and-coming team, you know what I mean? And Utah is the veteran squad now. So, again, he looked like freaking Michael Jordan out there. Again, I won't say Michael Jordan. That's blasphemous. He looked like Dwayne Wade out there. How about that? You know what I'm saying? Even to the point, Stephen A. said he was the greatest Utah Jazz player of all time. That's nutty. Again, Brandon, that's what I'm trying to say. These dudes are getting $30 million for saying outlandish things. We get what we get, and it ain't $30 million. And we telling people the truth and facts, you know what I'm saying? But
tell them, JV.
I don't know, Brad.
Preaching.
Let me get back to the point, man. I like Utah to finish off the Clippers, and then Phoenix. Rather, even if it'll be a high scoring affair, it'd be a great affair. The 1 and 2 seeds in the West, I edge because they beat the champs, and that would be the Lakers. I would edge Phoenix to come out the West.
Okay. I like as well. I think Utah wins. Obviously, I think they take on the Suns. Let me start that over. I think Utah wins and plays. Obviously, they're going to have a good matchup against the Suns. I expect a tough series. I think we're going to get a gritty 6 or 7 games in that series. If you look at the remaining teams left, that have a shot to win the title. Philly, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Phoenix, Utah, Clippers, Hawks. That's kind of how I guess I would rank them.
Oh, that would be a ranking. You can put Milwaukee down a little bit further, man. They personal pride to take over here next game. They were clearly a better team for three quarters. You've pissed off
the Milwaukee people over the last 2 weeks.
Hopefully they'll call in and we can talk about it. You know what I'm saying? They can get mad at their own team. You know what I'm saying? Or try to defend it. Kyrie Irving, going back to that, Kyrie Irving, they are a different team with Kyrie Irving. That's no shade against James Harden. But they are a different team offensively because he also facilitates, regardless of anybody says. He also facilitates and he also scores. And he was on a tear his damn self, being quite frank, you know what I'm saying, in this Milwaukee series. And maybe if that injury doesn't happen, they do win that game. They didn't really have an answer for anybody on the Bucks team for Kyrie Irving at all. But that injury bug, like I said, the ankle injury does kind of concern me. You know what I mean? Can he get back on the floor against Philadelphia, who I think is going to win? Can he get back on the floor by, game 2? You know what I'm saying? That would be my concern. And then going further, if they do get out the East, they're gonna need everybody to try to beat who I think will come out of the West would be Phoenix.
Okay. Some news and notes. Other notes are from around the league today. LaMelo Ball wins Rookie of the Year. I think we both think he had a great season this year, well deserved. Stan Van Gundy fired from the Pelicans. Zion will have his third coach now in three seasons. Scott Brooks out in Washington, so two more coaching vacancies. I think I saw Teresa Weatherspoon and I can't think who the other person was, possible candidates for the Pelicans job. I heard Teresa Weatherspoon. I said, what? I didn't know the connection there. I didn't know that.
I know Sue Bird's name's been thrown around to get a job. I also know Kira Lawson, who also currently Duke head basketball women's coach, but she also was an assistant at some time with the Boston Celtics. I know her name's been kind of thrown around. I haven't heard anybody. Juwan Howard kind of came out and said, he didn't say no, but he kind of said that I'm here. He gave the statement that I'm the Michigan coach and this is where I want to be at. That kind of translated to me, like, if you show me the money, I'll come talk to you. You know what I mean? He doesn't necessarily want to lose the program just yet. You know what I'm saying? With everybody being, you know, say, I don't know when the transfer portal and all that kind of stops, if it does stop, but you can say, should he not take a job in the NBA, you'll lose your team, you know what I'm saying, midsummer. You don't want to do that, especially if you're trying to, like I said, he's doing what he's doing at Michigan, rebuilding that program back up. I don't know, Brandon, who's going to be what's the more favorable job? If I'm the Pelicans, I know he ain't coming, but if I'm the Pelicans, and all that Duke front office people they got, all those Duke players they got on their team, I might ask Coach K, man, do you want to come? here? Can you see other? Brandon, they have to figure out a way to keep Zion Williamson.
They're not going to.
I don't want to see Zion Williamson playing next, a year and a half from now, after this season coming up, playing for, I'm taking my talents to wherever.
That's the Mecca.
But they have it. That's what it sounded like. It's going to happen. But they have to figure out to put, a team around, a confident team. I think there was a disconnect with Stan Van Gundy's style of coaching, which is probably old school. No excuse.
Oh, for sure.
Why aren't you outdated? Why aren't you defending like Jameer Nelson and Dwight Howard did for me, 15 years ago?
I'm glad you didn't say Rashard Lewis. I'm glad you said that.
No, I'm dying, man. No shade to Rashard, but yeah. why aren't you giving me 100% like those guys did for me against Cleveland and LeBron, remember? You know what I'm saying? And they won that series like you did for me. So there's a disconnect. Hell, even he would call out. He did something that I thought, the psyche of this NBA athlete is different than the psyche that was, like I said, 15 years ago. He called, when you start calling your guys out, it's you have to really know the temperature of your locker room. You know what I'm saying? Mike Malone in Denver can kind of get away with it when he calls his teams, like I said, he calls them quitters or whatnot, and they didn't quit. I mean, they're going to get swept, but they didn't quit. You know what I'm saying? They was just outmatched, outgunned, out-talented, even with the MVP on their roster. But you can't call out young guys who've been called, like, fresh out of college, who've been told they've been great, especially Duke players. I mean, I know Coach K's challenging, but hell, again, look at where the circumstance he's in. He's returned, so again, the change is in the air when it comes to coaching. And I don't know. I wish the best for everybody. I don't know what the hell the situation is with the Wizards and Scott Brooks. I thought, I thought he did a good enough job with the talent that he has. He has two veteran backcourt guys and a whole bunch of young guys littered around.
There's rumors now that Scott Brooks now jumps up as a top candidate for the Indiana Pacers job as well. If it's not Terry Stotts, it's not Mike Budenholzer, it might be Scott Brooks.
Right. It's not like think about where he's been at when he's with Oklahoma and now with the Wizards. It's not like he sucks as an X and O guy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He has a championship ring on his resume as he played for the Houston Rockets back in '94. But I don't know. I don't know what's going on. They said it couldn't. The only thing I heard, and like I said, I couldn't confirm it, is that they couldn't come to a contractual agreement. But if you can't come to a contract agreement with a guy that's been in your organization for over 4 or 5 years, then that means you just didn't want him. And originally, they probably didn't want him. They thought they was getting Durant, and that's when we were out there hiring. And they didn't. You should remember that. If you remember that, so I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's going to be a real interesting offseason, ain't it?
Yeah, and the fact the Pacers have been pretty mute in the last week or so. They've been very mute on, and you don't get the, you haven't been getting the reports of who's possibly interested, who they're looking at. Mike D'Antoni's interested in the Portland job, which I find that interesting. I think him going out there with Dame and CJ, that would be interesting with
that
D'Antoni's offense.
That would be. Does that leave Carmelo out? Again,
I hope not.
I know why you said it's greater. That's a team that doesn't. I mean, we look at defensive efficiency. They're kind of they're not last or second to last, but they're kind of at the bottom of the league in defensive efficiency. But they're like middle of the road when it comes to offensive efficiency with him and his style of play, style of thought. That probably would go out the wazoo, and we would see Dame Lillard probably averaging literally 35 points a game in a D'Antoni system. So I don't know. But it seems like Damian Lillard wants more consistent winning and not necessarily the stats. He's not necessarily worried about stats right now. So, again, some of these open jobs, Brandon, if you're a coach, what do you do? Orlando doesn't seem spicy to me. That seems like a job that's ready for you. You get paid, go down there and get fired. You're paid, you know. You see what I'm saying? And, again, you go to New Orleans, you're only going to have Zion Williams only for a short time. If you come to the Pacers, as long as you win and get to the playoffs, they'll keep you around, right? Same thing with Portland. If you win and get to the playoffs, they'll keep you around for a little bit. So I would say, you know what I'm saying, those two would be the bigger jobs that if I was upcoming, I would be interested.
In Boston.
Oh, I'm sorry. And, of course, and how can I, shame on me, man. Oh, my God. My folks, shoot, the legend, the Larry Legend, to come back and kill me, man. Yeah, and Boston. But they've got some roster tweaks to kind of work on as well. So, if you had to rank them, Boston, Pacers, Portland.
Okay.
I'm only saying Pacers because I'm a homer.
We're going to do a quick ad read, get our sponsors in. Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, and Maverick Custom Motorsports. Two quick ad reads in. We come back. We're going to hit some of our quick hitters tonight, NHL playoffs, U.S. Open, and more. We'll be right back.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm Insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Also want to thank our other sponsor, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created and dreams are born, specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks. They offer pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. Custom motorcycle builds, LED lighting, you name it, they got it. They carry all the top brands and much more. Check them out, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com, offering shipping, deliveries, shipping worldwide, pickups, and deliveries. Check them out on the internet, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. All right, John, we are back. NHL playoffs, I've been watching it. My Blackhawks obviously didn't make the playoffs this year. So I've hitched my wagon to the New York Islanders this year, and by God, they put away the Boston Bruins. Islanders are now tied with the Lightning, 1-1. It's coming back to New York, Nassau here shortly. Oh boy, John, we got a call. You better buckle up, all right? Because listen, before I put this person through, they've got something for you. So. They said you've been talking some smack lately, and they've got some talk for you. So, King of Trolls, Reggie Sykes, welcome to the show.
What's up? I said I had smack for you because of your trolling ways and your treacherous ways. You know.
What about Jonathan, fifth caller?
I'm gonna give him a. That's his first time dogging me out, so I'll give him a pass on that. But Jonathan,
what's up,
man? On the golf course, he is not my friend. He is my mortal enemy. He co-signs with everything. I call the show. I do whatever you ask me to do. See how you treat me? You treat me like a bald-head stepchild. I tell him that all the time.
I'm trying to pump him up.
And then you put Cot in front of me and three other people. So you had me at four and he had me at fifth. So, you know, man, I'm blaming you. I'm blaming you. I'm blaming you, Brandon. I hope your Steelers only win one game. I hope your baseball team's finishing last. I hope
they're winning right now.
Well, the Reds have been. You're the Reds fan, right?
Yeah. Reds have been decent for now, which
but
is our usual.
They have been playing pretty good. I was happy that they beat up on the St. Louis Cardinals because I hate the Dead Birds. So I was pretty happy with that. But
absolutely.
Man, it's been a crazy sports day, man, with you know, a partial tear all the way to ACL, and then what, Chris Paul's out or something? Did I hear a story about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, COVID positive for COVID. No, he has his vaccine, so definitely right now until whenever.
Right.
I do have a note I just found for both of you.
Yeah,
a report. I have a note for you. Me and John were talking Pacers coaching jobs and who was available a little bit ago, but I just found something. Here's a name, John and Reggie, and I'd like to know what you guys both think of this. David Fitz, I can't even think of his name. He used to coach Memphis and coach New York. They're linking him with the Pacers job possibly.
Who are you talking about?
Who was that guy? David Fitz.
Hold on. You cut out there for a second.
Fitzdale. David Fitzdale.
Oh, wow.
Nah.
Talking with him and possibly the Pacers.
Man, my guy who pissed off Gasol. here's the thing, man. He's out of the Pat Riley family tree. He was down there in Miami, tried to do some Miami type things in Memphis when Gasol, the little brother Gasol, who's kind of entrenched in his own ways. And they had did some winning in Memphis. You know what I'm saying? So that was sort of a culture clash from Lionel Hollins, who I do believe coached that Memphis Grizzlies team for all those years. It was a bit of a culture clash. They was, you know what I'm saying, they brought this guy in to get them over the hump. If you remember, Memphis beat the Spurs in that first round, like, what was that, 2017 or 2016, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And then they always fell flat. But with Conley and like I said, little brother Gasol, all those great teams they have. So I wouldn't be mad at that. He's been a guy to kind of, you know what I'm saying, he did some TV work or whatever. Like I said, he has an analyst. He's done from that Miami Heat family tree. So I wouldn't be mad at that. You better know the temperature of what you getting yourself.
They can do a little bit better. Kevin's job is on the line. Even though I think Kevin should have been fired this year, I think the only thing that's saving him is the trades that he made, you know, with PG and Victor and everything, getting those guys in here. But to have one superstar complain and you call him a prima donna, that's understood. To have two complain, well, something's going on. I understand the Simons are comfortable with him, but I believe some of the blame should go to him for hiring Nate Baldwin. You know, he has to receive some of the criticism, not just the coach, for his management style. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. Really, you can't make a trade until you get a coach in, because you need to feel the temperature of the coach and the players that he want in, the kind of systems that he's going to be in. I'm really tired of people saying, well, Miles Turner is gone. If they don't have Miles Turner, man, our defense is going to be hot trash. Our defense is going to be so sad that Deke Cotton will walk to work naked because teams are scoring 180 points on us, you know?
Oh, wow.
You know,
don't know, Ray. They just got to get better at the guard position. They, I mean, you could give up Miles Turner. There's guys that still block shots. I mean, I get it that he blocks four, but those guys also got better wing players that get after it on the wings as well.
On the Pacers team right now?
No, I'm talking about on other teams. You know what I'm saying? He's put in that position because he has to, because the guards he got on this team are like Olay, you know what I'm saying, to a bull in a bullfight. Olay, you know what I'm saying? They're letting the bull go past him. So that he approaches
there. I agree.
So if you can kind of – and that might not be Nate Borger's philosophy. I think it kind of was. If you think about the things that Nate McMillan had, again, I know there was always the struggle, like how do you play, how does he play Miles and Sabonis together, and you know what I'm saying? And I think this guy kind of figured it out to make at least somewhat complimentary, somewhat. I ain't going to say it was perfect. But, again, I would say Nate McMillan – And the staff we had, as much as people, you know what I'm saying, I don't want to keep on harping on Victor Oladipo or even Will Collins that retired on us or whatever. We had a better defensive philosophy back then when we had those Pacers teams.
Yeah, but my thing is you're going to move Malcolm Brogdon to the two because he's definitely not a one. You're going to bring in a point guard. Malcolm Brogdon
move
to one. What,
Reggie, what, hold your thought. They're going to move Malcolm Brogdon, period. that's what they need to happen.
Oh, yeah.
They need,
I think so.
That's what needs to happen. They need to move Malcolm Brogdon,
I like him offensively. I just don't think he's a point guard.
I don't like his character.
You know, he's capable. He's talking about his on-court character. I kind of get what you're saying on that. Offensively, he does some things great. Passing, does some things, great shooting, you know what I'm saying, getting to the basket. The defense is not his thing. Staying in front of his man is not his thing.
No. I think he's lackadaisy on defense. I think he really, he doesn't try to me. He doesn't put forth the effort.
Right.
Know?
And that puts a lot of pressure then on Miles to try to block a shot or pick up fouls.
Exactly.
And yeah, it happened to all of them. All of them let him pass. Everybody drive by and says, that's why we gave up 150. Because then I got to the point where Miles was like, well, damn, I'm not going to keep bailing you guys out and picking up these fouls. Mm-hmm. So,
okay,
we'll see.
Brad,
what
I
else you got, Reg?
Who did you make bets with tonight?
Uh-oh.
Okay. I took Philadelphia -7. I think they come and blow the doors off of Atlanta tonight. I think they're playing pissed off based on, I think Doc got into him enough. I heard enough F-bombs from Doc in his last press conference that I think they're going to come out and play. Embiid's got to show up tonight, play a little bit better than he played 0 for whatever. The last time somebody shot 0 from whatever for the field for a half was Michael Jordan back in 1997 in a playoff game. So I think Embiid's got to come out tonight, show that he can be that dominant force that he is. I also think Utah wins a laugher tonight. I think they obviously destroy with Kawhi out. Who the hell else is going to try to score except for Paul George? You get Luke Kennard, Reggie Jackson, and your Jonathan's favorite Morris boy. I said earlier, and I put it on Twitter, don't be shocked. Don't be shocked when Paul George goes 6 of 24 and 2 of 11 from 3-point range tonight. He's going to try to take it over and be playoff Pete, but it's not going to happen.
Now, this is the take I get. I like Paul George. Don't get me wrong. I don't have no animosity since he wanted out of here, but I just don't think he can carry that team by himself. So I took Utah. I didn't take the point. I think they were giving points. I took Utah. I took the over. I think it was over 220 or something like that. Then I think I took Atlanta, and I took the under. I just think that Embiid may have some problems. I don't know. Something just told me to take Atlanta. And everything else said take the Sixers, but I just – When Charles Barkley said last night,
guarantee
that Milwaukee Bucks were going to win a chip, and then he said, but Philly's my team, and the Suns are my team, I said, okay. That means I need to do the total opposite of what Charles is saying right now.
I got one more for you, Reg. I got one more for you. Paul George under 30.5 points. It's -112 right now on DraftKings.
I think I'll take that bet.
I am. I already took it. Under 30.5.
Yeah,
I took it.
I think when I get off the phone with you, I think I'm about to log on and take it by myself.
Airplane. Yeah, no problem. What else you got?
But I'm back to my number one status.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to hear no more track. I don't want to hear no more bull crap from D-Cott or anybody else. When we golfing, I don't want to hear you supporting the other guy. Reggie, you're going to miss that putt. Reggie, you're in the woods and everything. You know, I don't, you know, you need to get back in my good graces. That's what you
All mean. Right, I'll do it. I promise.
Oh, yeah.
I promise.
Hey, Birdsong, Rep Brandon, enjoy the show. Yeah, have a great day.
Thanks, Reg.
Right on. King of Trolls.
I was King of Trolling him the other day in golf. The missing the putts, balls in the woods, bad chips. It was
like
it was not good for him.
You like Kobe Bryant to his Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, man. Hey, all I'm trying to do is just pump him up to get him like hyped, like David Benner did to Reggie Miller before the games. They don't believe in you, Reggie. They don't think you can do this. You don't. They don't think.
Oh, wow.
I'm just.
That's a pretty good impression, Brandon.
Thank you. I was trying my best. Okay, we've got about 18 minutes left, John. Playoff hockey, like I said, Islanders. I like the Islanders. I'm picking them. The Golden Knights, Vegas, tonight, game two of Vegas and Montreal. Montreal's second game in front of fans since before the pandemic. I like Vegas to go up 2-0 in that. In that game. Speaking of Vegas, poor Derek Carr. I saw a quote that said he would probably quit football if the Raiders traded him.
Oh,
I
saw that, man. I was hoping that wasn't true, but yeah, I saw that.
Apparently it is.
He hasn't come out and refuted it. He hasn't come out and refuted it at all.
Right.
I know he saw it, so it must be some truth behind it, man. But good. Hey. You say, hey, maybe that's a good segue, man. I know we kind of slow on NFL news anyway, unless the Chicago market wants us to talk about Justin Fields and how good he looks. But I don't think, you know what I'm saying, the coach said he ain't starting. So I know we're on short time. Yeah, Chicago, you're going to be dealing with Andy Dalton week one and probably week two. But listen, we got to talk about college football, Brandon. We have to.
Yes, college football. Real quick, I got one last thing. College football hits it. I got two things.
Okay, great.
U.S. Open this weekend. John Rahm's the favorite, +1,000. Bryson DeChambeau +1,400. Then DJ, Xander, and Brooks. If I had to pick two names out of here that I like Xander Shoffley, and I'm going Brooks Koepka. So Shoffley and Koepka are the two I'm going with this weekend. U.S. Open. Torrey Pines.
Okay. Nobody gonna get kicked out for COVID already this week.
I hope not. Reds are hot. Won 8 or 9 of the last 10. They won again today. They're playing great baseball. Hitting's going well. Pitching's doing great. So the midseason, early June baseball for the Reds is always great. And then they fall off in July. So we'll see what happens with that. The Rays, Tampa Rays are the best team in baseball currently. Second best is the San Francisco Giants are the second best team. So a lot of moving on with that. MLB has some new weird rules. They pretty much outlawed sunscreen as a item to use for pitchers. Like baseball is just getting stupid now with this stuff.
Well,
but there is a problem with the substances. I will tell you that.
Right. Again, man, why wouldn't they come out with this stuff at the beginning of the season? It always seems like baseball, the league office is against the players, and ownership is like, you know what I'm saying, do what we say or you know what I'm saying, we're going to take our $100 million contracts away. You know what I mean? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Sometimes with baseball, I don't. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is. It really, I mean, that's all I can say. I mean, it is what it is.
Okay. All right. College football, John. 12-team pay playoff has been talked about, getting 6 conference champions and then the next 6 best teams voted in by the playoff committee. If you looked at this past year, if you put this past year's involved into it, it was interesting seeing the Cincinnati, seeing it as the Indiana Hoosiers were going to be taking on somebody. They were going to be the 12 seed, or not the 12 seed, the 11 seed. But I like it. It's 12 teams, John. I think it's perfect. I think you got to get the playoffs. The first round games are going to be played at home sites, college sites. And then the second rounds are going to be the actual bowl games. I don't mind it one bit. You get that home field, get the fans in there in December in some of these games. I kind of like it.
I don't like it. Obviously, I don't.
I like it. I like this.
Kind of gives you the impression debate. The rich get richer. The rich get richer and the poor are still going to be poor as far as the little guys, as far as the Mid-American Conference or the middle, the smaller schools. I don't want to pick on, like I said, the smaller schools are concerned. They try to sell it. They try to sell it that like now there'll be some more parity where the guys that, the teams that have the thick NFL lineups, like the bench could be a starter somewhere in Clemson, or the bench is in Bama, or the bench is on Michigan, or you can come to X school now and be like, what can you do to help us get? No, they're still going to go to Alabama. They're still going to go to Michigan. They're still going to go to Clemson. They ain't just going to just because now everybody has a chance, quote unquote. They're not going to go to all of a sudden you at UCF or USC or even Ball State for that matter. You know what I'm saying? Unless you got like a great salesman as an assistant coach, head coach, or recruiter. That's the only way you're going to get that star wide out who's kind of waiting, chomping at the bit, playing for Nick Saban down in Alabama. Okay? We know he's always got NFL room full of talent, a roster full of talent from years back to back years, right? So, again, I call BS on it. You know what I mean? A 12 team. So, okay, let's talk about it, man. So, again, there's ways around scheduling. Now you're going to put cupcakes on your schedule. Because it does seem real interesting to see, hey, okay, so now you're saying maybe Florida, a SEC team, or I know I'm picking on Florida. Maybe Florida has to come play IU in Bloomington on a snowy night in December. And we get to see what that kind of looks like or whatever. So there is some intrigue in that regard.
I think
like
it'd
now
be awesome.
Teams are gonna have to travel. But again, like I said, man, if I'm a recruit, why would I go to and a shame on me, and I love IU, and I love what he's what they've done with the program. I'm still not going to IU. I'm going to Florida. I'm going to Florida State. No matter how bad they suck. See, that's not the thing. Guys, kids aren't necessarily now, Brandon, as the shape of college basketball has changed, so is the shape of NFL. How can you get me to the NFL? How many draft picks did Nick Saban put into the draft? From Devontae Smith to Mac Jones. I don't forget the other wide out. Help me out, Brandon, but you know who I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
Now guys are thinking about how can you get me to the NFL? That's a championship game. That's what you want. That ain't necessarily what I want. Go ahead.
That's interesting as well because, the format they talked about was the top-ranked conference champions, so you get four of them. You would get so based off of last season, you'd have Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma. Okay, so you'd have that. The rest of your field, and then you get your conference champions. Notre Dame, Texas A&M, Florida, Cincinnati, who was a conference champion. Georgia, Iowa State, Indiana, and Coastal Carolina, who was a conference champ. So you would have Indiana at Texas A&M. The winner takes on Ohio State. Coastal Carolina against Notre Dame, Georgia against Cincinnati, Iowa State against Florida. I think some of these good matchups. I like to see Florida come up here in December and play up in Madison against Wisconsin. I think that'd be great with the snow. Great, great matchup. I think Notre Dame gets screwed in this because the top conference champions get the top seeds. Well, Notre Dame's the independent.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? So that kind of screws them a little bit.
Just a little bit. It screws Notre Dame. So college big brain. You're screwing Notre Dame. You're helping out the Pac-12. 12 ain't been none of the conversation in like the last 6 years. Now, have they? They've been knocking at the door. They've been flirting with, hey, we're going to send Oregon. Hey, USC's hot. Oh, damn, USC just lost to Oregon State. Well, we can't send them. You know what I'm saying? So now, regardless of them having one or two losses, if they beat one another up, they still get a say at. But again, man, I don't. This era's USC. This era's Oregon. I don't trust them to play Ohio State in Columbus. I don't trust them to play, you know what I'm saying, Bama, down in Alabama, if they had to go on the road. I don't – Alabama would still stomp them if they – I mean, if they had to go play them in Southern California.
Let me give you this matchup. 2016, it would have been the number 12 seed, Western Michigan, versus the number 5 seed, Ohio State, and the winner takes on number 4, Penn State. Western Michigan from the MAC against Ohio State. Imagine that kind of matchup.
Yeah, I don't
so
know.
Some of it's
weird. I like. Let me know when the money starts parroting out. Not necessarily like where we playing at or who we playing. Let me know when Penn State comes to, you know, a program near and dear to our heart, Ball State, and they're playing this year, but they ain't playing. They're not playing in Muncie. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because Penn State charges Ball State. Penn State's giving them a bunch of money to come. I mean, if Ball State goes up there and whoop them, then they won't ever play Ball State ever again. Right? But let me know when those type of things happen, when the bigger school comes to the smaller school to get challenged, to get really challenged, to be in a hostile environment, regardless of, you know what I'm saying, opponent. Let me know when that happens. Until then, this 12-game thing, it's college. All the college football analysts and all they were just a bunch of yes men. They were saying this is going to revitalize. And again, so the secondary part of my tirade is this, Brandon. Like, is college football, is it professional or is it amateur? Because this sounds a whole like professional. We got to get the playoff system right. That sounds a whole like, dude, this is professional. It ain't amateur. It ain't about, you know, win one for the Gipper. It's about, we got to get it right. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's what it sounds like to me.
Right.
They're going to vote on it. It's probably already voted in. It's probably already voted in to be. But it was going to start like another 2 seasons or so, I do believe. So.
Right.
We'll see how it goes.
Okay. What we've been watching on Netflix for show? What's our Disney Plus? What's the latest?
Hold on, man. Y'all talk so bad about Peacock, man. I get to my Disney Plus. Of course, I watch Loki. But y'all talk bad about Peacock, man. I started doing some surfing on Peacock, man, last week when KFabe Connection called in. And I start watching NXT again, man. Like, I don't know what's – like, dude, Brandon, I know you dipping in that out a little bit better than I do. But, like, NXT is not a bad brand. It's just a brand that they don't care about. And then when they do care about it, meaning when they do call somebody up, so I watched In Your House this past weekend. I thought it was – I'm not saying it was like WrestleMania, like, you know what I'm saying, Hogan and, you know what I'm saying, being fair to Flair or anything like that. But I'm saying it was pretty good. I'm saying for what it was, for what they put together, and me not necessarily knowing, you know what I'm saying, all the professional wrestlers that wrestled, you know what I'm saying, I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was pretty good pay-per-view. With booking and matches that make sense, not necessarily 5-star matches or anything like that, but with booking and matches make sense. You know what I'm saying? It's just that, Brandon, when you get attached to those characters and those performers and they get called up to the SmackDown or the Raw brand, like, it's like they wipe all that away, which that's when it doesn't make sense for me. So I did enjoy NXT. It got some good reviews from, like, you know what I'm saying, the Bleacher Reports and the CBS, you know, saying everybody kind of reports on pay-per-views now. So it got, I mean, I don't know if you can rewatch it. I know you got the Peacock app. I would suggest watching it. Like I said, pretty good matches, pretty good storylines to kind of keep up. And then it made me want to watch the weekly show. Samoa Joe's back.
Yeah. Well, whatever happened with William Regal, I didn't catch that. Is he out now as commissioner, or is he still running it?
Yeah, I still, you know me, Brandon. It's only so much I can watch. I watch bits and pieces of it. You know what I'm saying? It's damn near like background, but I watch it. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Yeah, uh-huh. I know he's not out. I think the story about he's not out, but like, yeah, they got a pretty good brand there. They just don't know what the trick to do with it once everybody kind of transition.
Well, it sounded like Triple H was pissed that they got rid of Samoa Joe, so he said, "Listen, we'll sign you back. We'll bring you over here to the NXT and let you do what you did best here for that." So that's interesting to see. Also, are we running towards a Roman Reigns, John Cena, SummerSlam match? I think so, because that's going to be the first big live fan pay-per-view everybody's going to be able to go to. And they're calling back some big names. Lesnar probably be back. Edge is going to be fighting at the SummerSlam, but I think SummerSlam might encompass and overtake WrestleMania this year. I hate to say it, but it's looking like that kind of card.
Well, as much as I know, we sometimes like to beat Vince McMahon and the powers to be over the head for like dumb booking or not smart finishes or some of the things that kind of run. I'm saying the state of wrestling needs WWE. You know what I mean? There's some great wrestling independently when you talk about the AEW or even the NWA. This kind of happening right now, but nobody pulls you in like the WWE. And when they're doing great, I think the whole business does even better. So I'm hoping if you're saying SummerSlam is going to be bigger than WrestleMania, I'll be glued to watch it.
I do. I do think the card's going to be a hell of a lot better and bigger than WrestleMania. So, anything else you got for tonight, John?
No, I think we kind of captured everything that I wanted to talk about. I know, you know what I'm saying, we got some great playoff games. The NBA has been great, as much as, you know what I'm saying, some of the predictions have kind of been off or you know what I'm saying, again, you can't take away from some of the things we've kind of seen from the total NBA playoffs. Superstars have bowed out, whether, you know what I'm saying, where you think it's due to injury or whatnot. Some superstars have bowed out early, and that gives another showcase, another platform for the new superstars, the Luka Doncic of the world, the Trae Youngs of the world, you know what I'm saying, to try to find their way into the history books of the NBA. So I've enjoyed, for what I saw, even the meltdown that is the Milwaukee Bucks, you know what I'm saying, out of these playoffs, man. So, again, man, I can't, you know, and like I said, hell, training camp, NFL training, mini camp is going on right now, and shit, like, oops, I didn't mean to say that, but like, yeah, hell, you know, NFL is right around the corner, so,
uh-huh.
I don't know, man.
By the way, no way the Sixers lose tonight. No way the Sixers lose. Allen Iverson and Aaron McKee are ringing the bell.
So they're present at the game?
And they're ringing the bell before the game. Kind of like your Colts do with their little horseshoe, anvil, whatever the hell that type of thing is. Don't get me started on that gimmick.
You better love the Colts, man. You know what, man?
Colts Forged.
Say what now? You said what?
Colts Forged. Isn't that what their hashtag was? Forged, F-O-R-G-E, or whatever. By the way, Carson Wentz going to be a daddy again.
Good for him, man. We need him to be in that end zone. Come November, we needed him to get touchdowns going to the end zone, not interceptions. So, yeah, Carson Wentz. He better have his stuff together because defense is set.
Did you see the dumbass Colin Cowherd? He has the Steelers going 3-14. How dumb is that?
Again, man, these dudes get paid to come up with sensational crap, man, and then they can say sorry 2 days later when they say, oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking about that. Yeah.
Hey, you got? Go ahead.
No, I'm good. Hey, do I got what?
You got some news. I saw you posted today. Indy 11 update.
Dude, it's weird, man. They fired the coach. This season necessarily, you know, I ain't necessarily been all in on Indy 11, but this hasn't been Indy 11 since they've been here has been a winning. You know what I'm saying? Except for the first year, they've been a winning organization. Getting dubs, they ain't let's say won the title. You know what I'm saying? That is the U.S. I forget the lyric. USFL.
Right, right.
USFL. Breaking up is hard to do, and that's what they did. He's always been a guy that comes on. He talks on a Rex Ross show every Sunday, and I didn't think nothing of it when I didn't hear him. Doing an interview like the last two Sundays, but that's what it is. Evidently, it's probably something about the money, to be honest with you. It can't be with the product they kind of put that on the floor. I don't think so. On the field, right?
Gotcha.
I don't think that's what it is.
Well, it's always good when we have people who know sports that talk sports on radio shows or podcasts, and you don't get national or local media that have no clue what they're talking about at their ass on a show.
You calling out folks. Brandon, you got to stop listening to Big Joe in the morning.
I can't.
Only listen to Dan Dockett like two times a week.
I will. I'll tell you this. I've switched it up. I went from listening to Keyshawn Johnson and Jay Williams and them in the
Jay
morning,
Williams.
Which they're okay to listen to, and Zubon, they're okay to listen to a little bit, but sometimes they get on some topics. I'm just like, you know. Then I went to Big Joe and Ricker, and Big Joe's a dumbass. I can't understand half the stuff that he's talking about. It doesn't make no sense. He's more about food than sports. But I tell you who I've switched over, and I listened to it, and I can listen to the whole damn 3-hour show if I needed to, and enjoy it is the Dan Patrick show on SiriusXM NBC Sports. I love the Dan Patrick show. I think that's my new one in the mornings listening to.
Yeah, I think I remember Dan Patrick when he was on SportsCenter, and I thought he was great on that. You know what I'm saying? And again, all those guys kind of got away from SportsCenter because of the money. Money got pulled here, money got pulled there, or got flashed to them, and that's why they don't work for ESPN. He's built up a brand of his own. Who I won't listen to, I'll be honest with you, is Jim Rohn. That's the worst show ever.
That's
the worst show ever.
That's second worst. Dan Levitard's the other one.
He ain't even on the air. He's on independent podcaster now, but yeah.
Thank God, he is terrible. This is Jim. This is Jim Rohn, and I've got the hot minute.
I feel unclean. Yeah, I feel unclean after I listen to it.
Peyton Manning here. Peyton Manning thinks he's the best quarterback alive. My opinion, I don't think he is. I think Tom Brady. Why? This is Jim Rohn's hot minute. I can't stand Jim Rohn. I mean, you could do another hour show just talking about sports people just don't like listening to. He's one of them. Levitard's another one. Your boy's okay. He's if there's a meter from that shows like green to red, he's about a yellow some days as your boy Dockage a little bit. I like Dan. I do. He just sometimes goes off the reservation a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And but the true and steady – of our existence here is JMV, of course. Friend of the program.
And that ain't because he did our show. That's because he knows what he's talking about. He doesn't get too political. He doesn't get too, you know, carried away. And
I want to stand up for our guy. I want to stand up for our guy because the show right before Mr. JMV's, they stole Jackassery from him.
Oh, for sure.
And I don't want to hear that anymore, them using jackassery as the word. That word is saved for between 3 and 6 p.m. On there. I heard that the other day. I about spit my drink out.
Hey, man, King of Trolls just sent me a Twitter message, man. That's the time I listen to Jim Rohn every day. That's the reason where he gets probably.
That's where he gets all his horrible takes.
Yeah, Jim, stop listening to Jim Rohn. I'm not gonna shade him that hard, but yeah, man, Jim Rohn.
He said he also listens to JMV, so I'll take that. So
sweet.
We'll give him that. Anything else, John? We'll wrap up for the evening.
Nah, man, I want to say thanks to D-Cott and Reggie. He can be number one in his mind if he wants to. our number one friend of the program, Reggie Sykes, for calling in today, man. I think we had a great show. I know it was a little bit short. We'll be back with 2 hours for sure next week. I also want to thank both our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, and Maverick Custom Motorsports for being our sponsors. People that listen to our show and people that follow us on our social, whether it be Instagram or Facebook, please hit the link that we have for the sponsors. You know, show love to those who sponsor our show. It helps out tremendously, even if you just navigate their website. Just click the links and check out the products they have to offer, services they have to offer, for sure. Outside of that, man.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.